Mary, to who?
Welcome to Married to Who, a podcast where a couple of couples watch Doctor Who for the very first time. My name is Jake. With me are those couples, Cody, Sam, Jill, Alex. We have a producer. His name's Harry. He's also here. This week, we are here to talk about the War Games. I'm really considering putting in William Regal yelling, War Games, every time someone says War Games this whole podcast. We'll see if it happens.
Do it.
Before we get into it, it is time for everybody's favorite podcast segment, Cody's 100-second plot synopsis.
Oh, God.
On your mark, get set, go.
Okay, I hope you're ready for the plot synopsis to encapsulate maybe 5 episodes, because this is 10 episodes. So, like, somewhere in the middle where the Doctor decides that he needs to gather up all the Resistance members, and he finds them, and they're like, hey, guys, we're friends now. We need to go... There's like a window thing here on the wall. Can't you see it? Just look. Just focus. Can't you see it? And then they can see it. And they're like, oh, I see. I'm also a Resistance member now. Ta-da. And there's a warlord and a war chief and a war security chief of security staff. And they're all just kind of fighting and running around and holding their heads and saying, our experiment is going awry. Find this person who's super smart and beat him up. And then they spend so long just teleporting places. They're like, over here. And then they shoot a whole bunch of people with the guns. And then the other people shoot them back with the guns. And War Games. And 10 times we have the War Games epileptic seizure intro. And then the Doctor finds him and he's like, I'm not going to work with you. I know you're also a Time Lord and your schemes are dumb. But then he's like, aha, but I will work with you. And then he's like, I'm going to nuke the whole place. And he's like, nope. We should get all the Resistance members and bring them in here, and I'll reprogram them with my machine that I reprogram. So we're going to reprogram the reprogramming machine to reprogram the people, but the reprogramming doesn't work. And he tells Mr. McCrimmon that it's just pretend, and then everybody pretends, and then there's still a fight, and
time.
I'm not done yet,
nope.
And then the Doctor...
All that time. Stop talking.
I think it was 25 seconds before the intro... Isn't that correct?
Yeah, I don't know why.
He skipped the first episode and a half and just started with, there was a thing on the wall that he showed people.
That seems fine.
So I thought he would have had plenty of time.
It was mostly.
Didn't even get to the last two episodes.
Mostly just kind of Scooby-Dooing around the war people.
Oh, yeah. Before I forget, I just watched the Making of documentary, and one of the writers, Terrence Dix, he says, he calls it... Oh, fuck. Now I did already forget. But he calls it, like, circular writing or whatever. Because you start with your team, like, captured. And then they get out and they run around. And then they at the end of the episode, they get captured again. So you wasted 25 minutes, but the episode didn't move forward at all.
Yep. That seems appropriate.
Anyway, before we get into what everybody thought, we have a game we like to play. Terry, you'll go first because you're winning this game.
Not for long.
There was a poll done by a bunch of nerds about 10 years ago in a magazine called Doctor Who Magazine, where they ranked all classic Doctor Who stories. There's 156 of them. Where do you think this one ranks in that list?
I think it's a crowd favorite. I'm going with 22.
Alex, you are in second place. You may guess next.
I was thinking 26.
Jill, you're in third place. What is your guess?
Sad horned.
Oh, man. I'm always wrong.
Say it, Jill.
My instincts are always wrong.
Say it, Jill.
You're in third place. You're more right than some.
Some being this married couple over here.
35.
Sam.
Numero 5.
Cody.
Uh-oh. Is he going to leave his tactic?
What did Terry say? 22?
22.
21.
Damn you.
It in both the 50th and the 60th polls, they haven't released all the data from the 60th poll, but they have released some. This is the second Doctor's highest ranked story. And it is number 9 overall.
Ooh, nice.
Not for nothing, but I just cut Terry's lead by 1.
A few more thousand, you'll be right there.
Top 10, baby.
That's okay. It's okay. There's a few thousand more episodes. It's fine.
Hey, Jill.
Uh-huh.
What'd you think of this one?
Well, I really wanted to hate it because it's so long, but I didn't. And that's kind of a bummer.
Jill messaged all of us after the first episode saying that she hates me.
But also true, said but... it wasn't that bad.
No, it was really
in the same sentence.
I actually enjoyed it.
Yeah, how are you guys rating this all in the 20s and 30s?
It was a no, I didn't want to. I wanted to rate it 15. But my instinct's always wrong. I'm always like, oh, this is really good. And then everyone's like, nope, this one sucks ass. So I learned not to trust myself. There's things in the middle where I'm like, probably didn't pick up all the things, definitely didn't pick up all the things. But just overall, as a watching basically 10 episodes mostly together, is very enjoyable.
You know, if you put them all together, it's 4 hours and 10 minutes.
Oh, yeah. I was like counting the whole time. When I was leaving work today, went for a beer, and I was meeting my boss, and he's like, I'm running 10 minutes late. I'm like, oh, perfect. I have 65 minutes of Doctor Who to watch.
There's most Americans who are big Doctor Who fans would have seen this for the first time in, I think, 1990. PBS aired it. Edited together as one long 4 hour and 10 minute thing with like no opening and closing credits, just like letting it go commercial free.
That sounds like hell.
Maybe it was like 88 or something.
Half the fun was just having those guns going off every
That would take
half
away
episode.
A lot of the time that we spent watching it because the intros and the outros and then plus repeating whatever.
Repeat, yeah.
Yes. That would take a lot of time off of it.
Going from the one thing I noticed, going from episode 3 to episode 4, they reshot the ending of episode 3 for the beginning of episode 4. And they all say the exact same things, the exact same thing happens, but it's from slightly different angles and like the movement's a little different. I wonder what the hell the reason for that was. When they're in the barn and the Doctor goes into the side rat and then it takes off and Jamie like runs at it as it disappears. They reshot it. I don't get it.
Yeah, I noticed that too. It was kind of awkward.
All right, Alex, you're talking. What'd you think of this one? Not your first time.
Not my first time. Still enjoyed it. And I was actually thinking about it while I was going to bed last night. And they did a really good job of kind of splitting it up into like two episode sections.
Mm-hmm.
It's like the first section is the mystery, like two episodes, and then it's like, okay, this is what's going on, and then like the next one is them going through the barriers and like exploring that, and then the resistance arc happens, and like it was well done. I thought it was good.
Yeah, it was like four separate stories in a 10-parter.
Yeah,
and then you know the third part is kind of bringing the first two parts together. And then all of a sudden, like, last episode and a half is, oh, Time Lords. You never heard of them before, but here they are.
Yeah. Well, and really, the last two episodes, like, the first episode was wrap-up of the whole story, and then the last episode was talking about Time Lords and what the Doctor does.
Sam?
For it being 10 episodes, I need to preface that. Is it preface or preface?
Preface.
Still preface.
I'm such a book reader, and I've always said preface. It's not. Anyways, preface
so
it with
in
that.
In a book, it's not preface. It's still preface.
It's however she says
it. Yeah,
it's
how she in her head.
Yeah, but it's not.
But what is it in real life?
Preface.
So
yeah, you should audiobook.
I'm wrong, too.
So it being 10 episodes long, surprisingly good. And kept my attention. Only fell asleep once. Only had to rewatch one episode. That's a major win.
Which one?
It was fun. There was the last one. I planned on taking a nap, and Cody just powered through. And I was like, I'm gonna sleep and watch this later.
If you said like 4 or 5, I'd be like, I get it.
No, this was a planned nap, and he was ruining my nap time.
Got it. Cody, ruiner of naps.
Yes. Address me by my full title.
Is that not the full title?
I think that's probably
Ruiner of Naps.
More than I deserve. Jake, it's 10 episodes long.
Yep.
Should have been a two-parter.
Yeah. Oh, yes.
There's no way.
A lot of stuff.
It should have been a two-parter.
Would have had to drop a couple of the wars that we interacted with.
A two-hour-long two-parter.
That'd be preferable. That they dove into so many characters. You know what? I'm just not even going to talk about the side stuff. I will say the one thing that I absolutely love in any episode of Doctor Who is building the depth of the characters involved that extend outside of the episode in which you're watching. We got Time Lord lore. We got the Doctor knowing another individual from not this episode, just from his past. That's a look into Doctor Who that extends past just the 30 minutes in which you're watching it. It builds on the Doctor as a whole in a canon universe, and that's amazing, and I'm here for it. This is probably the greatest old Doctor Who series I've ever watched. That being said, I spent just about every free time I had at home either falling asleep watching it or watching it. It's so long. It's the longest series ever, but dear God, like, they threw money at it, they threw actors at it.
Yeah, the number of actors.
And it paid off.
Insane.
It's a good story.
Yeah, they on the making of documentary, they have like a little segment on how large the cast was, and they show just like little snippets of all the guest actors, and there are so many. And you know, some of them are like in a bunch of episodes, but some of them, like the guy, the army guy in the cottage where the Doctor's like pretending to be the inspector, like that dude's only in it for 3 minutes, but he's awesome. And just like the casting, and of course it's David Maloney. So I didn't even do the beginning part, did I? Where I said who wrote and directed it and when it aired?
No.
Yeah.
No, you did. Okay.
Did you you saying Terrence Dix?
Also, you definitely did numbers.
No, I didn't do the dates, did I?
No.
This is the War Games, written by Terrence Dix and Malcolm Hulk, directed by David Maloney, aired April 19th through June 21st, 1969. yeah, so David Maloney's the director. He's casting all of these side characters, and they're all people that he was worked with and that he likes. Lady Jennifer is the producer's wife, Derek Sherwin's wife. So that everyone knows what they're doing, what they're in for. Maloney's one of the best Doctor Who directors as far as just like being prepared. And when you have a big epic like this, and there's so many things, like just getting everything you need and just getting it in. And also, they were writing the story while they were shooting it, because they're, you know, shooting episode 2 and still writing episode 6. So he's in on the meetings and he's helping them write, and he's coming up with ideas, and there's one big collaborative effort. And those are always my favorites, when so much shit has gone wrong that everyone just has to pull together and just make something, and it ends up always being so cool. Terry?
I have also seen this before.
Yes.
So it was pretty fun watching it a second time. Yeah, there's just so many, the characters are just so fun to watch, and just, oh God, let me start over.
It's words.
Oh. I know, but it's just the joy of seeing all of these people playing from different time periods, and then just seeing the team getting stuck in between all of these different kinds of wars and trying to figure out what sides they're on, and then just the main bad guys on top of it with their ridiculous over-the-top kind of attitudes and their glasses and stuff are just a great contrast to everything else happening. It's so fun to watch. And then just the locations that they were shooting at were great.
Yes.
Great locations.
Quarries.
The fields.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I mean, it's better than, like, building a field in a studio than, like, okay, let's go shoot it. Like, yeah, I don't know. I enjoyed it a lot. They had good cameras. The only thing that I didn't necessarily like were the fight scenes.
Oh, those are some of the best ones.
They are, but there's definite, like, you'll see the, oh, this is where I'm supposed to be stopped by you. And there's, like, a pause. And then they're like, oh, let me grab the gun for a moment. Okay, now we struggle. It's like, oh, they only had one shoot to do this.
There was a lot of killing in this story. Like, just people just getting shot point blank.
Oh, yeah.
Tons of death and tons of actors not really sure what their pop guns are like or what they're going to do.
My favorite is the bandito guy.
Yeah. He just comes into a room and just starts blasting.
I couldn't find a picture of him, and I was going to just post it in Discord and be like, so anyway, I started blasting.
The last one where he's standing on the stairs and, like, every time pointing he fires, down at the he ground. Looks away. Yeah, he grimaces. So good.
Is this really a family show?
I watched the last episode with both kids.
And they loved
it. Last episode, sure. What about the first nine?
They had the fortunate ability of not having to watch those ones.
There were so many guns, like, just, and, like, guns to heads. Not even question if they're going to get shot or not.
Do you remember, like, when weren't Westerns really big and kids always had, like, little pop guns?
Oh, yeah.
I had a pop gun as a kid.
Pew, but you live in America.
Wasn't it America. The first cliffhanger where, like, the doctor's going to get executed by firing range?
Yeah, I think three of the cliffhangers were that.
Yeah.
That's actually perfect for kids.
Off screen.
Mess around, find out.
Yeah. Consequences.
They just get randomly sniped. That's how they resolve. There's one.
Oh, yeah.
There's one where Carstairs, who's like a friend of ours, is about to shoot Zoe, and we see the hammer cocking back as he pulls the trigger, and then it's a cliffhanger that it turns out the gun is empty.
All the cliffhangers were like a real big
what's gonna
balloon.
Happen?
Yeah, like, oh, my god, that's crazy thing. And you get to the next episode, it's like,
that's the Doctor Who I know.
Yep. That's silly.
The first one, the doctor's about to die. It's like, well, time for John Pertwee, even though we haven't cast him yet. And we're not going to for a while.
Man, the circles.
Not, knowing that there was going to be a new doctor, that's not how I thought it was going to end.
Oh, just well, the no.
We still, and by we, I mean the production, still don't know, like, why the doctor changed his face in the first place. They haven't come up with regeneration yet. It'll be until the third doctor changes into the fourth. Do they actually, like, kind of come up with a lore about it? But they.
Well, by.
Go ahead.
This is the second doctor, right?
Yeah.
So, like, they're like, this guy's going to ride this out until the season closes.
Are we really only on the second? This isn't like the seventh? No, we've been watching this forever. Second doctor.
This is the 50th story.
Once the fourth actor is like, guys, I gotta go do Romeo and Juliet on stage for a month. They're like, I guess we just need to find some sort of trope.
Actually,
to replace this actor.
The next actor to play the doctor does it for 5 seasons, and the one after that does it for 7. So they are the epitome of not being the guys who are like, well, I want to go play Shakespeare.
Oh my
god. Was this
god.
Like... a Jamie light story?
No,
or
Jamie was all over the place.
That was Jamie heavy story.
Yeah, he was kidnapped and then arrested and then kidnapped and
he beat up a red coat and then later on he beat up a red coat and then at one point he beat up a red coat.
It just really felt like the women were dominating this story, which was great. I like women dominated stories. Yeah. And then there's the whole, like, women are shit, you know, overlay. Where you're like, obviously not. They dominated it. I don't know. It just didn't feel very Jamie-y to me, but...
Zoe's the best. Forever and always, Team Zoe.
Team Zoe gone. Zoe gone.
Jamie, Zoe.
Gone.
Yeah.
Hard to believe.
They get attacked by Germans when they're trying to move that tree that's over the road, and or maybe they had gone into a civil war by then. They get attacked by somebody, and he just...
The Germans.
Just fucking goes off on them.
What a deep cut. Was that like episode 2? Do you remember?
Yeah, I think
any
that
of
was
that?
The Civil War.
Yeah, they go to the, over to the German side in the ambulance because they're trying to travel to a different time zone. They get captured by the mm-hmm. Germans. The doctor shows off the Sonic and how he could take a screw out of a gun. And then the guy has his memory wiped. He's like, all right, let's do it again.
The Sonic was so cool. Like, I just want...
That was a cool effect.
I want more zooms of the Sonic doing things like that. Just, I don't care how long it takes.
Unscrewing screws, re-screwing screws.
Yeah. Just zoom in on that. Like, that's the shit we need.
Yes.
Agreed.
Did Jamie call it a tuning fork?
No, he asked him if he's going to crack the safe with a tuning fork, which is some kind of joke that I do not get.
Okay, because he wasn't using the Sonic trying to do the safe, right?
No.
Okay, because I caught that line. I was like, wait, is he using the Sonic right now? Because that'd
be
funny.
I do really like that part because it's super doctory. Like, he is just like super confident the whole time, takes apart a grenade, stuffs the lock with it. The military guy is like freaking out. He's like, dog, I took the ignition thing out already. Like, chill the fuck out.
Well, and that whole sequence was cool, too, because then they had a guy in the next room while the fuse is burning. They're like, he needs to leave now.
Yeah, he takes apart the candle and gets the wick out of there to use as a fuse, which I don't know if candle wicks work that way, but.
When did MacGyver start?
In the late 80s.
Oh,
I don't know. But when they did that, I was like, that's one shot. You just broke that candle. That's half your budget.
I have a really important question that's very much related to this episode.
All right, let's go.
Go on.
Is Patrick Troughton's hair real?
Yes.
Really?
Very much so.
That is insane. He has so much
that
hair.
Natural bowl shape.
He wanted
Some
to make
people
it.
Are just built different.
He wanted to make it so when he was done with Doctor Who, he could like disappear. It's so, like, when he does like cut his hair and kind of let it go gray, he does look, and he just wears normal person clothes. He looks wildly different.
Normal person.
I kept, because there were a lot of like zoomed in shots. By the way, some like really awkward shots. Don't know what Terrence Dix was doing, but like crotch level
but he was
and
the
up
writer.
Shots.
David Maloney is the director.
Well, my bad, Terrence Dix. I'm sure you're listening.
He's passed.
Yeah, he's definitely listening. Just so much hair.
Deuces to the sky.
It's like on this DVD, they were talking about the cast leaving, and Patrick Troughton is like the only person ever to play the Doctor, especially in Classic Who anyway, who like was already a well-known, respected character actor before the show, and then afterwards just immediately slipped back into his old career and was like working constantly as it's just like everything under the sun. Everyone else is just like the Doctor forever.
Oh, it's Troughton's birthday last week.
Yeah.
He passed away in Georgia.
Yes. Today is also the 15th anniversary, can't be 15th. It was the anniversary of Matt Smith's first episode. 14th anniversary, it would be.
Neat. Fun facts.
Matt.
Do we have a song?
Matt's 11, I think you mean.
Yep. What do we think of the bad guys? There are so many.
We got the general
with the spectacles. Okay. We got the German with the monocle.
You got glasses. Yeah, glasses guy, monocle guy, dark beard guy.
And the dark beard guy had just been in the Crotons like 2 stories ago. So he grew that beard just so he wouldn't look exactly
the
same. The
warlord, right?
Smart. That's acting.
Yep. All right, I know we talked about this when we did the previous podcast, the Brothers episode, but because we're watching on HD televisions that are 60 inches or whatever, when they zoom in on the German general's face and he's got that scar on the side of his face.
Yes.
Terry, explain to us that webbing that is like used for makeup, because it's super visible when we're watching it now.
Yep. So yeah, that's wig netting. It's also, so it be used to like blend in the hairline of wigs and stuff, and you can use that to also put build scars or latex pieces on back then, so that way you could apply it. But for some weird reason, they left the netting on over his eyeball. Eye. Yeah, which as an actor, that would be annoying as heck just to have your eyelashes hitting that constantly.
And then did a close-up over the that side of his face. It just made no sense.
Yeah,
it doesn't register in 160p.
I've watched this episode twice, and I've noticed both times.
Well, yep. You're on a 1080. No, yeah, I know.
If
probably.
If I'm in the UK in the 60s watching on an 18-inch TV in the living room, yeah.
Which is what this was meant for. It was supposed to be one-time mm-hmm. watch. Never again. But for
how thick all of those glasses were.
Oh, like, their eyes their got eyeballs.
They had
so bad for them.
They were like bifocals, but with it just directly in the middle of the glass.
It looked future-y.
Oh, it looked
just
painful.
Thick glass. Thick with 2C glass.
But every time, so, it, and every time he blinked, it looked like a robot lens like flashing.
Well, there's that one guy. The guy that ran like the machine that...
Yeah, the scientist dude.
That dude, he had like holes in the center of his very thick glasses so that it gave this weird effect.
Yeah.
Oh, weird.
Spoiler alert for MVP. Production design in the story is fucking awesome. And the person who did the design, he got a big shout out in the DVD because this is one of the cheapest episodes they ever had.
Really?
Wow.
It does not seem like
it. Yeah, and they're saying like, Derek Sherwin.
There were so many actors.
Well, I mean, that's where a ton of their budget. But they got the budget for two stories, a four and a six-parter, because there were supposed to be two stories to end this, and they both were just shit. So they had to scrap it. They call up Terrence Dix. They're like, hey, we need a 10-parter, like, today. But if you can't do it today, by Thursday, would that be cool? And so he said yes. And then he called up Malcolm Hulk, who is his friend and mentor in the TV business, and was like, I can't do this by myself, will you come help me? And they just fucking banged it out and at least came up with a premise so that they could get a couple episodes in, and they were writing it with the director and everyone else like as they're shooting it. But again, huge cast, so lots of money going out there. But this production designer who is not on this,
Roger Chevalier.
Yeah. Derek Sherwin, the producer, is saying like he loved this dude and he used him as much as he could, because you'd go ask production designers like, oh, hey, I need this, and this. They're like, cool, I need $3,000. And it'd be like, fuck. But you ask this guy and he's like, all right. And he would just go off to some junkyard and come back with like all the perfect stuff. And he'd just like steal shit.
Awesome. Like they had so many good sets. And I would not expect it to be the cheapest.
The spaceship's kind of like weird. Like it's very 60s, like psychedelic. Like it's kind of the first time Doctor Who does that. But apart from that, even like the chateau, the World War One bunker, the barn, the German whatever they were in, their little hidey hole.
Like the trenches.
Mm-hmm.
There was so much.
It was really cool.
And then also on like on location too, doing all that stuff.
But he also made like this crazy spaceship with all these different areas, and he made Gallifrey for the first time.
Okay, I'm trying not to ruin the conversation, but if I don't ask now, I'm gonna forget. The timey-wimey boxes, do we ever see those again?
Yes, we saw them in The Doctor's Wife. Oh wait, referring the timey-wimey boxes? The thing they travel in? The side rat? Or the white little box the Doctor makes to message the Time Lords.
No, the weird little like side bot thingy. Side where it opens.
The Tardi.
They're side rats. It's TARDIS backwards.
Oh. What?
Why don't I remember those?
They only say the name of them one time, and it's in episode 7. And it's probably supposed to be Sid Rap, but he says Side Rap.
That made me so excited. That is really neat.
I have a fun fact about that. No, Joe, we do not see those again now that I know what you're talking about. But I have a fun fact here.
The little brain boxes we do. The white brain boxes. Yeah, we do see those again.
The messaging.
Cody is like, what is this? I was like, we've seen these.
I kind of love the idea of those, that they're just like planted around for different time travelery type people.
Well, they were made by the War Chief because he is a Time Lord, but he doesn't quite know what he's doing. So he made like shitty TARDISes.
Yeah, that's great.
Yeah.
Just send it's people like around.
It's like the scooters of town. You know the scooters?
Yeah, the bird the electronics scooters.
Yeah, the bird scooters that just get left around town.
But, like, yeah. it's basically what the TARDIS does anyway. It's just not supposed to.
Right. So, Malcolm Hulk, one of the writers, did the novelization. And in that, he says that the SIDRAT acronym stands for Space and Intertime Directional Robot All-Purpose Transporter.
Oh,
not,
nailed it.
Not
oh, no.
quite rolling off the tongue like time and relative dimension in space. little tough. Added a lot of compound words and dashes in there.
Because you needed it to, because like the door opened on the side, so you had to call it a SIDRAT.
No, you had to call it a SIDRAT because the start is backwards.
Okay, but what's the difference between the War Chief and the Master? One, and two, before you answer.
Yes.
Wouldn't it be awesome if the Master just leaves those around and maybe they're invisible? So maybe you just get kind of like thrown to a different time without knowing?
Well, the cool thing about those is something we are told constantly that you can't do with the TARDIS, and that's make them remote control. So he can send, or they use them to send Jamie and Zoe back to their times and then like bring them back, and they can have them go back and forth from just one place to another. But because he's able to create that feature, they're not a real TARDIS.
They're a better TARDIS.
And Jill's first question, is the Master the War Chief? Because I was kind of reading up on some stuff, and there's, I don't know if it's ever said.
I'm sure there's like tons of fans that want it to be, or if
it's said it is. It looks just there like him, dude.
It acts like
there was
him.
A TARDIS, and I just assumed that that was the Master.
I would say,
who's that actor?
Terry.
War Chief is Edward Brayshaw.
Great head of hair on that dude.
Terry very actively handsome. Has 4 monitors up right now.
I think that's like the template. Like if it's not the Master, that's where they got the inspiration from.
Does he come back?
We will see a lot. So the Master is created by Terrence Dix, who wrote this. It won't be for a little while yet. But a lot of Master stories, especially in Classic Who, we do see him like teaming up with another race and offering to like give them technology to achieve their goals, while secretly he's going to take everything for himself. So it is
right.
It does fit a lot of what we see the Master doing through the '70s. So I mean,
yeah,
he's not as smart as the Doctor. He needed the Doctor's help. Like it's perfect.
I'd say,
and they recognized each other right away,
but they don't know each other. Like we learn later, and this is all retcon because it's not in the story at the time. They know that they're both Time Lords. Like, they can sense that. But the Doctor...
Yeah, it didn't seem like they knew each other.
The Doctor doesn't know who he is. But the War Chief does say, even though you changed your face, I still know who you are.
Yeah.
But the Doctor doesn't name him. But he could be like... Because the Doctor might have been, like, quite famous on Gallifrey. So he might just be like, oh, I know who you are, even though you're different.
Like, knowing what we know now of the Doctor, although now, at this point, you know, an old Who, they didn't know
but now we know it,
that he stole a TARDIS. Like, obviously, he's going to be known as Gallifrey.
And this is the first time we hear that he's a renegade TARDIS that ran, or he's a renegade Time Lord that ran away, and he's a fugitive. They are actively looking for him.
Fugitive Doctor.
And this goes on to, like, create the... Like a huge part of like the character of the Doctor, particularly in New Who, like Peter Capaldi probably more than any of the other ones.
So they can just force the doctor to regenerate?
Well, again, they don't know what regeneration is at this point. But yeah, I mean, in canon, that's what happened.
I loved the face shopping. That was fun.
Oh, that was psychedelic.
But I like the reasoning for it. Is that, okay, we're not going to jail you because we agree that what you've done good, but we're going to banish you. And he's like, well, you can't just banish me on Earth. I'm known there. And they're like, well, we thought about that. We're going to change your face. And it's like, ah, shit. So it is basically like removing, you know, a 12th of someone's life by forcing a regeneration.
It's a lot less emotional version of regeneration.
Yeah.
Like in New Who, when we see regeneration, it's not like, it's not welcomed and it's not forced. It's like a weird in between. Like, I know what's happening now and their tendency is to fight it. But like, so it's kind of nice to have it be like you just need an alternative face. Like, you still get to be you.
It is forced upon him, though.
But like, he's not going to be a different person. He's just going to have a different face.
Well, I mean, that's the case with all of them.
And the knowledge of the TARDIS taken away.
But it's not.
It is.
Like, in New Who, it's like so emotional and drawn out. And like, it's a different person. It's not just a face.
He's
young. He is younger, yeah. So you could say that. It's only his second time, so maybe. But also, there's different reasons for them being emotional about it. Like, you know, David Tennant doesn't want to go. Chris Eccleston, he's not emotional about it at all. He's like, oh, I'm changing my face. Like, so see you later, Rose. And then, you know, Matt Smith, he dies of old age. So he's just like, it's time to go. But this was cool. The War Doctor also dies of old age.
Okay, I'm emotional about it, Jake. Fine.
Jodie's not really emotional. She's just trying to get rid of this side piece that keeps clinging onto her. The fuck off so I can turn into David Tennant again.
I do love like how they deal with the companions so that it's not like overwhelming for anyone involved. Like,
that was kind of sad though, because
it was like Adana.
Yeah, no, like if you think Adana,
they got to keep at least remembrance of the Doctor and the TARDIS and an adventure. Maybe not
adventure.
Maybe they shouldn't remember all of it, TBH.
Jamie won't remember Zoe though, which is a big bummer.
Right? Yeah. They were super close. And Jamie was then thrust back into his tumultuous time. Like, that's terrifying. Yes,
that was the worst part of this episode. He gets up and, like, almost dies and then gets up and starts chasing this guy with his sword. Oh. And the doctor's laughing about it.
That's
like,
perfect.
Yeah.
So when you say
murder.
Worst part, you mean best part?
No, I am worried for Jamie's
sake.
We've
done nothing but watch Jamie just murk dudes for 3 years. He's in his element.
What was the other guy, the previous companion that always liked to murder people?
Oh, Simon?
Ian.
The first OG.
So, the OG murderer.
Ian had to go back to just being a teacher. Like, you know, there's like bodies in his basement. He's like... Some kid's like, oh, Mr. Chesney, can I get a ride home? He's like, you bet you can. No one ever saw that kid again.
That was before he went on the TARDIS. He had that in
him. Yeah. But it was unlocked.
Yikes.
I was kind of hoping that Zoe would retain more just with her identic memory of just
eidetic.
If she would have remembered more than just like the brain wiping would have allowed
her to.
She does
have a moment of like, I feel like I'm forgetting something important, and then it's like, meh. So there's maybe a little more there.
The lady's like, are you okay? Are you sure you're okay?
But it does
are you sure?
It does make the episode of Inside the TARDIS that they released over the 60th with these two. I you guys didn't watch it. I didn't post it because we hadn't gotten to this point yet. But there's an episode, it's all these little vignettes of like classic companions meeting on the memory TARDIS. And, you know, it's a way to like watch classic Who on iPlayer and then have these little like interstitials. If you're going to go from like the previous story into the War Games, it has Jamie and Zoe meeting on the Memory TARDIS and having all their memories restored and, and having like this little story in this reunion, and then sitting down and be like, oh, do you remember the War Games? So they sit there and talk about it, and then you go into watching the War Games. But it makes a little like 4-minute thing of them reuniting and getting their memories back and talking about it, like, pretty emotional.
That's cute that you think we watch anything you post in the Discord. I know.
Fucking roasted.
Yeah. That's bones, bro. Damn. There was a murder here.
We kind of touched on it a little bit earlier, but I think my biggest like of this story is the influence it had on New Who writing. Because I feel like we talked about a bunch of elements that were like, oh, we've seen this before. We've seen this before. Like this story was watched by young versions of the showrunners and they brought it into New Who. And it's, and then also just like knowing that storyline and then being like, okay, if that was it, then the Doctor acts this way in our New Who. And then also it's interesting, like, seeing the Time Lords, how passive they were, and then this story potentially propelling them into the Time Lords we saw in New Who, where they were like very active and trying to control everything. Like, it was,
there's a lot of steps between here and cool. there that we will see, but yeah, it is interesting yeah. how they change over time. I think someone, when we get to tweets, says that this is their favorite incarnation of the Time Lords. Maybe it was on the DVD. I can't remember. But it's funny you bring that up, because this is the first that I recall of the DVDs, like the making ofs, where they have New Who writers on talking about it.
Oh, nice.
And that might be because this is one that was re-aired a couple of times in the late 80s and early 90s. So it would have been one that they'd have seen as kids. But like Paul Cornell, who, you know, just taking a punt on what Cody might be picking for us to watch next week, we'll be talking about more. He's on there, and another writer's on there. And they, yeah, exactly kind of what you're saying.
That's awesome. It was fun. It's just cool to like kind of. I like the way we kind of watched it, where we've seen all New Who and now we're going back. Like, it's kind of a cool thing yeah. to see where it comes from.
I feel like we've talked about this story while watching New Who so much. This story felt familiar to me.
I agree.
Yeah.
Which is probably why I rated it so high. It's just a good story overall. Which is probably why we talk about it. But yeah, the elements coming to the New Who and now being able to see it where it originally came from is just kind of...
There's so many firsts, and it's like the lore of Gallifrey and why the Doctor is how he is, like, really started in just a couple of lines in this story that they put in because they thought this might be the last one.
The last story ever?
Yeah, they're like... Through a lot of making this season, they didn't know if they were getting picked up again. And they eventually, like, reluctantly, the BBC reluctantly, like, agreed to do one more season. And if it didn't work, they were going to be done. But, Cody, I talked over you. What were you going to say?
Oh, how, they controlled the things with felt boards.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I was just thinking about that.
It's cool.
That too.
It's weird and stupid and like futuristic, but like not. And it's just like just these shapes on a board. And if you put them in the right spot, everything works. And the Doctor just immediately understands it.
So what happens if someone just like board wipes? Does the whole place just like implode on itself?
It just bumps it, slides into it a little bit.
A little static electricity in the room. But oh, I mean, it's. It's like the Doctor learning the language of rope. Like, it's just dumb, and that's what
that
Doctor
was
Who is.
So good.
Let's see. So episode 8, we'll get into, or we'll talk very quickly about the ratings later. But episode 8 of this is the least watched episode of Doctor Who ever. Until 1989, when the show gets canceled.
Oh, dang.
It's maybe the most important because it's the first time we hear the word Time Lords. And that we learn that the doctor's a fugitive from his people.
Yeah.
Get a shift on.
What kind of person can walk into the BBC and be like, boys, we're canceling Who?
Oh, they tried doing it so many times. Like, the amount of just luck for the Doctor Who, like, staying on in the 80s was crazy.
Oh, dang.
I mean, they did eventually like cancel the end it. Of times. Like, it went away in the 90s.
Yeah, for 15 years. 16 years, really.
Wow.
Do you think New Who still has that pressure of potentially being canceled? Like, do they feel it?
Constantly.
Really?
Like, the wow. BBC is constantly being threatened of, like, being shut down or being changed or, like, you know, the because it's tax paid.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, this whole Disney thing, like, if this didn't work or if it doesn't work, there could be, it could be done after these, however long of a deal they have.
I suppose, yeah, if the current setup doesn't work and they don't sell out, yeah.
BBC already, for the first time, had to reach out to get a production partner, and that's where Bad Wolf came in. And then during that process is when Disney came in as a streaming service for, you know, globally other than in the UK. And then that gives some more money, but with more money comes expectations.
Man, I've been watching The Crown again lately, and I just got to the part where, like, the BBC is starting to fight satellite TV, and they brought up iPlayer, and I was like, oh damn, like, iPlayer was OG in like the, like, trying to, like, get at BBC.
That's a throwback.
I haven't watched the new season that's like 2 years old now.
Or no, not iPlayer, it was ITV, which I think is now iPlayer. Yeah,
no, it is not. iPlayer is what you watch BBC on. Like, it's their streaming service. ITV is a different channel that is, like, a normal channel that has commercials and stuff. That was, like, the first real big...
It was, like, a satellite channel.
It was, well, not really, but kind of. It's weird over there how it works. But it was the first big competitor to the BBC. And still is.
Yeah. Anyway, yeah. It was cool.
Let's see. In the script... There's a part where the Doctor says that the Time Lords rule his people, but in the actual aired scene, he says that the Time Lords are his people. But this helps spur that debate among fans of whether or not all Gallifreyans are Time Lords, or if it's just like the aristocracy are Time Lords.
Well, I think we've figured that part out. Like, that's...
I mean...
Like, if you're a Time Lord, kinda. You're like part of the government and in the military, right?
That it hasn't been, you know, there's some images that Stephen Moffat made, but they don't mean shit. Also, in the original script, it identified all of the alien race as warlords, not just the warlord. And the Doctor saying that there are multiple time traveling species out there.
Oh, yeah, we've come across a lot.
Well, now, but not back then.
Are the Cybermen not time traveling? Like, no. In Classic Who?
No. We go over their timeline every time we do an episode.
Yeah.
And where they come from. It was the director, Dave Maloney, who came up with the idea of using spectacles for the aliens when they're hypnotizing. The script just had them doing, like, a cold alien voice, but he wanted, like, something visual.
The hypnotizing's pretty sweet. Even cooler is that the Doctor doesn't have to get hypnotized. Just opt out.
He's big brain, doesn't have to.
But he can if he wants to. I do like that scene where he's like, I don't have to be hypnotized. Too smart. But also, here's all the information you were asking for. Idiot.
Idiot.
But I do like when the security guy is like using that helmet thing on him, and the war chief is like, that doesn't work on us. And he's like, so he is one of you. It's like, yeah, I wasn't arguing that. as promised, here are the ratings for the 10 episodes. And again, this is April through like halfway through June. I tried looking up like if there's some big sports thing, like if the World Cup's going on, the ratings will dip. In June, there was Wimbledon, but there were two Australians that faced each other in the finals, so I don't know why the children of the UK. Maybe it was just like an exceptionally nice spring. But episode one, there's 5.5 million. That's already near the lowest we've seen. Like, we're always hoping for around 7 and up into 8 and 9 is really good. Episode 1, 5.5 million. Episode 2, 6.3. Episode 3, 5.1. Then 5.7, 5.1. Episode 6 is 4.2. Episode 7, 4.9. Episode 8, the least watched episode of all time, 3.5 million.
What is happening?
Oh, man. Episode 9...
Oh, this isn't spring, summer. Yeah, we're into time,
end of
though.
May, beginning of June there. And then episode 9, 4.1 million. Episode 10, 5 million even.
Man, can you imagine having to just wait each week for that episode? I would give up so fast.
Yeah, it's how I watch most television.
Terrible.
So those ratings are the reason why they were trying to cancel Doctor Who, right?
They weren't really trying to cancel it. It was just kind of... It wasn't getting picked up right away. They were kind of under the assumption, like, hey, if this is it, let's fucking go. They had asked Fraser Hines to maybe stick around for another season, and he's Patrick's going, I'm going to go. So, yeah, it was a dark time for Doctor Who. But, like, it's always kind of well known that this last season of the Second Doctor took a big nosedive. But we've been going over the ratings, and they don't really until this story. And so, A, maybe doing a 10-part story is not a good idea, because you're just going to lose people in the middle when it's drawn out like that. Or B, maybe just take the summer off. Which, yeah, we do, this is the last season where we get 40-odd episodes. Starting with next season, it's 25. And so, they do make changes.
But also, like, if the ratings are that low, people are... putting it at number 5 out of 157 or whatever.
9 out of 156, but thanks for playing.
That's crazy. That's crazy.
That's voted on by people in 2013.
Nerds.
None of them watched it when it was on. They all watched the VHS when they were kids and then the DVDs when they were adults.
How many people had TVs in this day?
Around 8 million.
It was a lot of them because Queen Elizabeth made everyone get TV, or didn't make them. Yes. But
28 years earlier.
With guns.
It's not an inauguration. What is it when the queen gets queened?
Coronation?
Coronation.
Is it?
Yeah, 53. So yeah, 16 years earlier is kind of the big TV boom. Terry, here's a chance. Give me some stuff.
Ooh.
He didn't know he could talk the rest of the episode.
Oh, no. I don't know if I have anything else.
Ready for tweets?
I lied. No, I lied.
Let's do it.
I really like the teacher guy. He was super fun. And just like, I love that he just then explained how everything was working with the... desensitizing and then rebrainwashing and all of that kind of stuff. I'm like, oh, we needed this way earlier. This makes so much more sense now. Like, I just love when stories do that.
He's supposed to be the smart guy and the doctor just rolls him. It's like, oh, I'm just going to watch if you don't mind. He's like, okay, fine. And then he's like, oh, but I think you'll find this works if you put this here. And just like totally reverses the machine on him. It's like that, the one we just watched, the Ice Warrior one, where it's like, we have this technology. One person in the world knows how it works. And she's busy right now.
I really don't know if I have anything else.
What do you think about Zoe's outfit?
The correct response here is which one?
It was all one outfit. It was just layers, but it was the best and gave her a real air of authority. She had like the pantsuit and then the big coat over the trench coat and the scarf.
Yeah, I mean, she also just looked cold, but...
But she looked like military. When she rolls up on those guys that are about to shoot her friends, and she's got, like, she's, like, leading the resistance at one point, she just looks fucking badass.
Oh, yeah. Well, heck, just all of the resistance leaders. It gave me Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure vibes of like, we've got all these awesome people. We're going to wreck your shit. Super fun.
Did she also buy this outfit and it get ruined while she was?
No, just brought this one from home. I didn't hear anything Terry said after well, heck, because then I just like couldn't get over the fact that he said well, heck. James at JamesSwift95 said, real awesome story. It's very Moffitty.
It is Moffitty.
Do-do-do-do.
By the way, it's been confirmed, I think, episode 3, the upcoming shooty season. It's a Moffitt episode.
Yes.
Oh, we also know, we know the title of all the stories now, all the episodes. But episode...
Yeah, we do.
Episode 1, I mean, of the upcoming season. Episode 1, Space Babies. B-Bird Moth at B_Bird_Moth says, my favorite story in the classic era I've seen so far. I was skeptical because I don't like longer stories, but wow, what a ride it is, beginning to end. Loved every character and all the twists. The arrival of the Time Lords is one of the most climactic events in the whole show.
Boom.
Yeah, when I was watching this again, like in my mind, the Time Lords are like the last 10 minutes and all the running around is like the other 9 episodes, but they get to the alien ship and they're up there running around like at the end of episode 3. And then all the pretty much everything that I thought was the whole story is done by the end of episode 5. And I'm like, what the fuck do they do the rest of this story? I completely blanked on all the resistance stuff. I totally forgot about it. William B. Morton at WB Morton 84 says, great story considering shoestring budget, rush script, and having to find a way to end the second Doctor's reign.
Even not considering that, yeah. I feel like it was
one of the better, for sure.
But again, the most creative people when you're put up, and this is something one of the writers said, the New Who writers, was like, sometimes having too much time like crushes creativity because you're just like second guessing everything. But if you're like, okay, I need to get from here to here, I need something, you just write something. It's like, this works, let's do it.
Building the train tracks while the train's running, it's interesting.
Neither Time Nor Space podcast, that Time Nor Space pod on X, I'm guessing this is Matt. I know it's Matt. Says, it's long. What's the Time Lords? Because they just did this on their podcast. They did it in 2 parts because they're pussies. Once the Time Lords stuff kicks off, the history lessons about Mexico seem a bit superfluous. An absolute world away from what comes next. Possibly my favorite classic story, by the way. We'll get into that some other day. Also, and perhaps most importantly, I cannot stress this enough, I hate Troughton.
What?
Oh, get no. dunked, Jake.
Wow.
Matt from Neither Time Nor the Space, professional troll.
Wow.
You know, Troughton has not done enough toot tootin' around here, so.
We got Deb from Spencer Road 2 says, liked most of it. Got to admit, it irked me that Jamie knew all through why they all needed to work together. Until it got to meeting the Mexican rebel, then he had to have Zoe explain it. Jamie was uneducated, not stupid, and had already worked with his archenemy and many others. And then this second half of their tweet is a little hard to understand, but I'll try. Erasure of their memories is sad, but the Doctor is at his most clueless / alien as Jamie runs to, if not his death, at least being a hunted man. He's concerned that Zoe will be okay at last, at the one who has pretty much lost everything, might die, and was his best human friend. So yeah, I get that. We kind of said that, how the Doctor just laughs when Jamie's like in a fight to the death. He's like, oh, Jamie. But he sees Zoe like kind of walking down a corridor. He's like, oh man, is Zoe going to be okay? and then we have a tweet from Mrs. McCrimmon. At Mrs. J. McCrimmon.
Does she have a song? Can she?
Beep, 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 beep. He remembers. Beep,
He remembers few things in life.
She won't listen, don't worry. She says, first she retweeted a tweet of her from 2020 saying, "It is a fact these are the saddest goodbyes ever for Jamie and Zoe to have their memories of their travels with the doctor taken away. Thanks, I hate it." She then replied to that today saying, "The perfect Doctor Who story. It's silly and too long, but has genuinely emotional and scary moments. The first version of the Time Lords is my favorite. They're aloof and removed from the universe. You get why the Doctor is an outcast for wanting to be a part of it."
Damn.
I have never agreed with such a statement ever. This version of the Time Lords is wonderful and I love them.
And the actor who played the main Time Lord who did most of the talking, he was on the making of, and at one point he said, "I'm sure at some point the director told me, like, don't overact like you normally do." just like, because they were friends. He's like, "Just play it, just chill and just say the words, and then let Troughton just be a maniac and do all the running around."
Was that guy in a previous episode of Doctor Who?
Oh, I'm sure. I know he's in more.
Because he was giving Gulliver when we met Gulliver.
I hate the way you kids speak these days.
It's giving.
It's giving. It's giving elderly Jake.
It's giving elderly Jake.
Let's see. So his name is Bernard Horsfall. First Time Lord is what he's credited as. He was in The Mind Robber as Gulliver.
Hey, I nailed it. Look at that.
Good work.
I did it.
Hey, Alex.
What up?
Who's your MVP?
I gotta go Patrick Troughton.
Attaboy.
He was so engaging every scene. And then his final send-off, he did his classic, like, face contortion acting. It was great.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, at any given time, it changes, but if one were to ask me who my favorite doctor is, it's going to be a mix between Capaldi, Troughton, and Pertwee. Just depending on the day, who I've watched most recently, whatever. Troughton's the fucking best. Terry.
Oh, man. I think I'm going to go with production design. So Roger Chevalier. Oh, no, I can't even say it now.
Chevalier.
Yes.
Me too. Jill.
Thanks for picking Alex first. It's Patrick Troughton. I miss him already if we have to continue watching Old Who. He's real good.
How do you feel about the fact that it's not in black and white anymore? This was the last black and white.
Yeah. We're going Technicolor.
Wow.
I want colorful Patrick Troughton.
Jill, you're going to love the next Doctors. Like, it only gets better.
Oh, no.
Not according to Jake, if this is his favorite. Yeah,
around, like, Matt Smith era.
Capaldi. Do you have to wait all the way for Capaldi now?
Yeah.
Well, the second one that he said is the next Doctor.
Yeah, I don't always trust Jake.
The next one we're doing is Matt from Neither Time Nor Space's favorite classic story. He's watched almost 4 classic stories.
Almost 4. Does that mean it's short?
It is short.
Well, with War Games being one of them, it's not short.
Sam?
The guy that travels with Team TARDIS.
Carstairs?
Sure.
The lieutenant? The LT?
Was he a lieutenant?
Sure. David Seville. Sometimes
he was a lieutenant.
That's, yep. That always, I was
David,
like,
Seville.
Always threw me off.
Yeah, he was pretty dope. Cody?
I award the coveted MVP to the Marians for watching a 10-episode series.
Yes. Don't know why I keep calling them series. We've been over this dozens of times.
That's
it's
what they're called
now.
If we
cereal.
Call them
you
that,
eat cereal for breakfast.
No, it's a story.
It's not a story.
Series
either,
is the whole season. A cereal.
The story has an end.
Is the story. Or a sugary, you could just call it a story.
Eaten by Americans.
I expect my plaque in the...
Oh, it's been coming, bro.
Before we fuck off, we have to find out what it is we're watching for next time. As we've been doing, when we finish a season, before we jump into the next one, we revisit a new Who story that maybe we love, maybe we hate. Maybe Sam's going to make us watch Fear Her one day. But Sam didn't win the game. Cody did, so he gets to decide. Cody, we've done nothing so far but watch Moffat two-parters. What are we watching?
The Black Spot!
No.
No, I'm just kidding. Okay. It's Family of Blood.
Okay. Oh, Wife of Mine.
You said you weren't going to pick
so that. So it is called... What are they actually called? What's the first one called?
Ugh. Isn't the first one Family of Blood?
Family
well,
of Blood.
Well, then what's the second
one? And then the second one is...
Family of Blood Part 2?
Blood no. from the Family.
Bloody Family, I believe.
Oh, no.
Say it three times, they show girl, up in the mirror.
girl with the red balloon.
I tried looking for our podcast for Family of Blood, and it's buried, bro. It's so
it's
gone.
It's on our website.
It's on the website. Buried.
How's it should
Human be? Nature is the name of the first one.
Yeah.
We will be watching Human Nature and Family of Blood, Season 3 of New Who.
Moffat
it is not a Moffat two-parter. It is a Paul Cornell two-parter. Hey. The writer we just talked about as being a New Who writer. A writer who just a few weeks ago at Gallifrey 1 brushed past me and said, oh, excuse me, as he walked past.
Wow.
But yes, I know by face what a writer who wrote only two Doctor Who stories looks like. Well, he's on a lot of the DVD's special features that I watched. Let's see. Is there anything we
Jake
haven't done?
Jake also knows his address, his birthday, his social security number.
How do you know those things about me?
That those two things don't have to be exclusive.
Yeah.
He only knows things about Doctor Who.
I wouldn't doubt it.
Oh, God. You missed it by one, Cody. The next episode is Blink.
I'm not doing Blink. Everybody wants Blink.
Well, it is no about time we get away Blink. From a Moffat story to somewhere yeah. else. But yeah, and it'll be probably like the only Martha story we do in this. If I
Martha be banging.
If I ever win, I'm gonna do an Eccleston sure. one because I know none of you will ever pick an Eccleston one.
Can you win? You don't play the games.
Yeah. I play for Jake.
No, not that. Just oh. that time. So next time, Cody will be playing for me. Oh. Whoever previously won oh, okay. will be playing for me.
Jake's going to win next time, too.
Our schedule going forward here, hopefully I'll be able to get this out before the new season starts. Hopefully I'll be able to get Human Nature Family Blood out before the next season starts. And then we will record one more after that before the next season starts. But that won't come out until after... Shooty's first season comes out, but we'll have that in the can
Timey
ready to go.
Limey, ooh.
So we're gonna do this, and then we're gonna do the first or we're gonna do this Human Nature Family Blood in 2 weeks. Then we're gonna do the first Pertwee story. Then we will break until the new season comes out, and then we'll 8 straight weeks of new Doctor Who. Actually 7, because the first week they're dropping 2 episodes.
What?
So we'll have to figure out how we're going to do that. If we just want to do them together in one podcast or do 2 podcasts.
Tricky.
Anyway, Alex, do the song. This has been Married to Who, our episode on the War Games. On behalf of myself, Jake, thank you so much for listening. And please join us next time for Human Nature, Family Blood, Revisited. Bow down now, bow da do da do da do, but down da do 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 da
Canoe wants to say goodbye. Canoe woof. Canoe woof. Now you won't woof.
Canoe.
Tell her to woof. She knows woof.
Woof.
Woof. All done. All done.